Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
When I was a kid, they used to sing that song a lot before we had communion. But if you really read the words to the song, does it have a lot to do with communion? What is the bread of life, folks? It's the Word of God, isn't it? Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. It doesn't say, it comes a little bit close to it by breaking the bread at Galilee, but it doesn't really have, talks about communion. It really doesn't. So I grew up thinking that that was a communion song. We don't sing it that often, but I wonder if some of you had that same experience. It's a song about breaking open the Word of God. We're going to be talking about the Word of God this morning. Surprise, right? It's not a surprise, is it? It's something that we want to practice and we want to delight in. In fact, I am an unabashed wordaholic. I make no apology for that. I love the Word of God. I take it with me wherever I go. And that is who I am. I must have God's Word in my life. There are many things that do take me away from the Word of God. How about you? Anything take you away from the Word of God? You have any temptations to take you away from the Word of God? Distractions? Probably one of the things that people come to me the most about as a pastor is their frustrations and their inabilities to stay in the Word of God. I understand the difficulty there is to be committed to God's Word, because there are so many things calling us out today that distract us, take us away, change our appointments. There's always something. I am always drawn back to the Word where I ought to be. I need to hear from God. And He is not going to speak audibly to me through any revelation. A number of years ago, on a Wednesday night, probably a couple of years into my ministry, I did a series on studying the Word of God. I thought maybe it might be appropriate on a Wednesday night, but I haven't talked about it a lot on Sundays. I figured perhaps it was more of Wednesday night material than Sunday night material. It's always curious to know what pastors think are Wednesday night and Sunday material, don't you think? But I decided on the summer, where I kind of am not in deeply in that many series. I do mini-series. As you know, we did trials for the majority of the summer. I did 5 weeks on trials. I did 2 weeks on offenses. And so I would like to do 2 or 3 weeks on talking about, in essence, keys to studying the Bible. And that's where we're going to be both this morning, no doubt next week, and perhaps one other Sunday. So we're going to go that direction, Lord willing, for the next few weeks. I want to somehow encourage you to get back on a summer day to the treasures of our existence and away from the toys of our existence. Too many of you live in the trivialities of life. I'm sorry to say that. Now, I don't know and scrutinize any of your life, but that is Christianity in general in modern America today. We prefer to be distracted. We prefer to be taken away from the Word of God. We think somehow that our memories are so wonderful that everything that was ever taught to me in the Word of God is always near and dear to my heart. I know better than that. We need daily doses. We need to hear from God as much as possible. When people tell me, oh, I've already heard this before. Oh, I heard a sermon on this before. Oh, I've heard a Sunday school lesson on this before. It really annoys me. I'll be frank with you. Let's face it, I've gotten a few years under my belt. I've been to college where I had a Bible minor. I went to seminary for 3.5 years. I've been in pastoral ministry for 30-some years. And you know what? I still don't have anything close to what I need to be. I still do not have it. And so when people tell me this, I try to maintain a straight face, but it's really hard for me. It's really hard for me. And sometimes parents teach kids that as well. Well, I've heard that before. Hey, Sunday school teachers, you have my permission. If any kid tells you that in your Sunday school class, you better tell them you don't know anything yet. Because that's a fact of the matter. You haven't arrived yet, I haven't arrived yet either. If that's the case, I'm going to have to skip any Christmas sermons this year. Right? I've probably preached 100 Christmas sermons in my life, and you know what happens every Christmas? God shows me something fresh. How can that be? That is the Word of God. It is alive. The Spirit takes it and makes it fresh. That is one of the blessings of studying the Word of God. I rejoice in what God brings to my heart. I need that in my life. I need Him to spark truth in the very depths of my being that I might see Him clearly. That song that we mentioned a few moments ago, do you read the last portion as you sang that first verse? My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Does your spirit still pant for the Word of God? Does your spirit pant for God Himself? Well, how am I going to find out about God except through His Word? Yes, I know we hear about people, oh, God, you know, came to me and He did this and that and the other thing. I'm going to tell you, you need the Word of God this morning. And so let's explore again together as people who need to hear from God fresh, who want to again be excited about the Word of God. When was the last time you were excited about God's Word? Really, as you're sitting there this morning, when was the last time you were excited about God's Word? I think that's a really relevant and important question. When was the last time you were excited about God's Word? that you panted after it. Oh, man, I need to get into the Word of God. Oh, speak to me, Lord. Speak to my heart. And I find in general, and it happens to me too, folks, on occasion, where I'm not as excited as I ought to be about the Word of God. You know, it bothers me. It really bugs me when I'm that way. I don't know if it bothers you or not. I really get irritated with myself. Here's a glimpse, a capsule of who I am. I get irritated of who I am when I do not allow the Spirit to speak to my heart. When I don't want to be in the Word of God. When I don't care anything about it. When was the last time you were irritated about it? I got my agenda, Pastor. I got my thing going on, you know. Hey, it's your pastor. I'm concerned for you. What I find is Christianity today is looking for some excitement and hoping to somehow produce even some kind of artificial excitement. I'm not against a lot of things where we are genuinely excited about the things of the Lord. You know, and we say so, and the redeemed of God say so, and we stand up and we say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, or whatever else. I'm not against that at all. I'm not against any of that kind of thing. But I find myself seeing Christianity looking for artificial means to get themselves excited. We have to have some way or the other to put people up front to get the people excited. But it doesn't seem like the Word of God can get people excited anymore. Do you find that to be true? We find that a lot of, I read the polls, I read the statistics, people aren't reading the Bible anymore. People don't want to go to church anymore. People are looking for something else to get them excited. Why am I discouraged? Why do I feel melancholy? Why am I down in the dumps? Why can't I get excited anymore about things of the Lord? And we find there are some really basic things that we need to do to get back to those matters. So I feel compelled, just because of Christianity in general, to just discuss these things. Will you turn with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a classic passage from the Word of God. It says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study generally throws people off. They immediately want to say that means work. That means something that is a negative in my life. I do not want to work to get to something that makes me happy and excited. I do not want to study. Perhaps I wasn't a good student. Perhaps I didn't like school. Perhaps I find the word study a mundane word of boring sleepiness. Perhaps I think study means that's for pastor. That's for theologians. That's for people that get a kick out of doing that kind of stuff and want to have a lot of books. I've been to your office, Pastor. I see all those books. So I think you're probably, you know, a boring kind of guy, really unexciting. And so why in the world do I want to live that kind of spiritual existence? I am reminded that perhaps he is speaking to Timothy here, Paul. And it is pastoral oriented. But on the other hand, I believe that everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior ought to be instructive to other people, don't you? Don't you think that as you have learned, you should be studying and teaching other people? Wasn't that the gist? Actually, in the context when you went to verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I contend with you that every one of you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you say, but I believe in the Great Commission, right? How many of you believe in the Great Commission this morning? Let me see if you're out there this morning. Okay, you're out there this morning. I feel a little charismatic this morning, so both my hands are up. Amen, brother. So, but isn't the idea of the Great Commission, this, now you correct me later on, I don't want a lot of correction and we'll never get through the sermon, we've got communion this morning. But correct me later on, but aren't we called to go and tell others? And isn't telling others, teaching others and discipling others, telling people the good news of Jesus Christ, is that not a form of instruction? I need to hear from God. In order to hear from God, I have to make it something that is passionate in my heart. I have to make it something that I need to take to heart, that I study the Word of God. I must not approach it as something that's only for other people. So God calls us to make an effort. Study is an effort, you see. It's an effort. You got to make an effort. And to say, but I'm not a teacher, I contend with you and say you're not. Oh, you may not be someone who will stand in front of other people. Parents, do you have children that you teach? Well, I don't do any formal teaching. You teach them all the time. Everyone's life is somehow a book. And we teach others through our life. Some of us just do not have a platform. I happen to be called to be a pastor teacher. I take both my preaching and teaching very seriously. I do not merely just stand up here and rattle away. I am trying to be instructive to you so that when you leave this place, you have something to hang on to and hold on to as you go out the door. We try not to break dry bread. We try to get out of the way of the Word of God. But I'm going to contend with you that you are a teacher. Study to show yourselves approved. Make an effort. Teach someone. You don't have to stand on a stage. People get weird, bizarre concepts of what all of that means. It says, study to show thyself, yourself approved unto God. Who's the one that we are trying to get approval from? Sadly, we fear men too much and God not enough. And we too often are looking for approval from people instead of approval from God. And I am reminded that this morning, you are my secondary audience. You're not my primary audience this morning. I need approval from God. I need approval from God. And as my secondary audience, on a hot summer day where you come to hear the Word of God, I try to get your attention. And part of getting your attention is I have to sometimes create some tension between you and me so that you will say what in the world Kunin is trying to say again this morning. I'm trying to say this morning that you need to be people of the Word of God. This whole goal of all of this is I want you to learn to immerse yourself more into God's Word. We all need to make changes in our life. Too many of us are content with our existence in August of 2011, and we dare not be. I'm not content where I'm at in my Christian life. Are you? Don't brush me off when I ask you how you're doing in your spiritual life, and you say, I'm really doing well, Pastor. You're probably not doing nearly as well as you think you are. Neither am I. We keep plugging away. We keep trying to go up. We're trying to work to that end. We're confessing sins. We're trying to understand the heart and the mind of God. It takes effort. It takes effort. This idea actually in this verse is you, when you talk about studying to show yourself approved, it's talking about a maximum effort. It's talking about really getting down into the Word of God. It's talking about meditation and contemplation. It's trying to put the pieces together of God's Word. It's trying to say, Lord, speak to me. I need to be spoken to. It's not always about that guy over there who I really think needs to be spoken to. It's about me. Oh, start with me. May revival start with me always. It's about pleasing God. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it's kind of a neat verse, Galatians 1, 10. I'm always happy again when I read verses like this. Paul's talking about what we just kind of paraphrased a moment ago. You understand what I mean? It says, for do I now persuade or seek the favor of men, or do I seek the favor of God? Which one do you want? He says, or do I seek to please men? Huh. If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I shouldn't be the servant, the slave of Christ, the douloi, the bond slave of Him. Who do I want to please? I generally believe in modern Christianity, most Christians are seeking to please themselves instead of please Christ. And we are moving away from that because we've swallowed so much of the world's slime. We've swallowed so much of the things that the world has fed us. We have found that so much of religiousness chase after books like The Best Life Now, thinking that it's all for my favor and pleasure now, instead of the fact that we are looking to eternity and we need to begin pleasing God and His approval now. I contend with you that if we wholeheartedly, as a local church, sought God's approval, that I believe it would turn our church upside down, personally. But how do we know that? It comes only by seeking God's approval. We want to be workers that are not, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't want to mess up the message, and so we want to cut it straight is the idea in that passage. Probably the one thing that's harder on me than anything else as a pastor, and listen to me, is the fear of not cutting it straight for you. That somehow I'm going to mess up the message. That somehow I goofed the message up along the way. You mean the whole presentation? You do that a lot of times, Pastor. No, I'm talking about giving you the Word of God as it ought to be preached. That I will tell you what the Word of God says. In my exposition of God's Word, I am telling you the truth of God's Word, and I don't want to mess it up. And that worries me and concerns me sometimes. So you want to cut it straight. But you see, in order to do that, you have to make an effort. You got to think clearly. You got to get down to the Word of God and say, I need to know your heart, Lord. I need to know who you are. I need to see who you are. And it's important for me to do this. But what about all you teachers? Isn't that your responsibility? One of the greatest fears I have found, and I'm going to come back to some of these things perhaps next week or later on. One of my greatest fears as we talk about these things, and I've shared this with you before, too many people are hanging on the words of people that have taught you in the past and have not always cut the Word of God straight to you. They've just parroted, they've echoed what other people have shared with them, be it in Bible school, some other pastor taught them, and they've never studied the Word of God for themselves. They've never said, what does this really mean? I've heard what other people have said, but I've never looked in God's Word to see if it is so for myself. That's the challenge, isn't it? Isn't that really the challenge this morning? For you to see? For God to speak to you? Not just to me, but to speak to you. Find out. Dig deep. Look down into the Word of God. Make an effort. It's a challenge. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? You're a workman, right? I want you to do that. One of the things that people have done historically, Roman Catholicism for many centuries, told the people, you are not allowed to read the Bible. Isn't that true? Some of you former Catholics, we have former Catholics in here, you're not supposed to read the Bible. That's left to us. But you see, I'm the opposite. I'm telling you, please read the Bible. Please study your Bible. I beg you, I implore you, find out what it says. You see, that is a noble function, an act on your part. What were the Bereans like? You remember? I better take you back to Acts one more time. I wasn't planning on it, but that's all right. Acts 17. I think it was good that we named our church way back when, before my time, Berean Baptist Church. It's a good name. Acts 17:10 says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews." And it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Why? Why were they so noble? Because they had more money, right? They were the nobility, so they had more money. That's why they were more noble, correct? Oh, they had names in front of them. They had names like Sir Joe and Sir Frank and whatever. No. So they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and what? They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so boring or anything. What? Study, effort. A challenge lies before you. Oh, Pastor, this is what I want to hear this morning. I want you to tell us something fun and good and do something lighthearted and good. I'm trying to help you out. Many of you will function in discouragement and distress a lot. We went through 5 weeks of trials because that is what human life is frequently like. There's sickness, there's problems that are always, always coming out after us. There's always problems and trials. If you don't have one today, there's one coming around the corner, I promise. That's life. It's true. So, one of the basics that we find in our existence is how do we deal with them? When we have the Word of God near and dear to our hearts and the Holy Spirit Himself begins to work and move in our heart, you see, we find answers and we find comfort and we find peace and we find joy in spite of all the difficulty that we have. But if you're only, listen to me, but if you're only hearing it from the pulpit, if you're only hearing it from a teacher that comes and formally teaches you, it may not be enough to sustain you. What you need to do is also sustain yourself. In other words, feed yourself too. Okay? Let me put it in simplicity. You need not only to have other people feed you, you need to feed yourself. Are you hungry enough to do that? You see, that's the calling. You see, that's the noble thing to do. That's the joyous thing to do. Go feed yourself. Go study. Get God's approval. Find the joy of it. Find the excitement of it. Make the effort. Oh, I'm too tired. Make the effort. Here are some necessities I don't think I'll be able to finish. Number one, you need to be saved, or all of your study will in essence be rather futile. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1:14, you say, how can you say that, Pastor? You tell me you shouldn't tell people to read the Bible? No, I think it's not a bad idea if you run into somebody and they have an inclination to hear something you have to say to send them to the Bible. Tell them to read some verses. Maybe faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you hope that the Word of God strikes their heart. But if you want to really study the Word of God, and you say, well, I don't want to spin my wheels, you really need Christ as your Savior. Otherwise, it sounds rather foolish to you. So until you get saved, until God opens your eyes, until the illuminating company, the Spirit of God Himself, opens your eyes and turns the lights on, the Word of God isn't going to be very significant for you. Right? I'm sorry, it's 2:14. I have 1:14 on there. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Who's the natural man? Is the probably to a modern American, a natural man is some outdoor guy, a survivalist, somebody that runs around. No, the natural man is someone without Jesus Christ as their Savior. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What are the things of the Spirit of God? Well, in essence, in substance, you cannot get a handle on what God is saying apart from the Spirit of God opening your eyes to His truth. You understand what I mean? All of the, and maybe one of the problems some people have, and they say, I never get nothing out of the Bible, and people do come to me at times and say, I never get anything out of the Bible. You know what occurs to me immediately, and I may not speak it forth, is I wonder if that person is really saved. Why are you not getting anything out of the Bible? Well, you say, you're too presumptuous, Pastor. You're too judgmental. No, I'm just trying to understand it from a biblical standpoint. I perhaps half jokingly, half seriously say, I'm not smart enough, I'm too simple to do it. I say it half jokingly because I try to gain my wisdom from God's Word. Wisdom of the world doesn't mean a whole lot. But the natural man is the unsaved man. And I don't understand how you're going to get a hold of the things of the Spirit of God apart from the truth of God's Word. It's foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them. He's not going to get a handle on the Word of God because he says, I don't get nothing out of this. It doesn't mean you can't send somebody and give them a list of verses and read it. Maybe God will turn the light on of salvation to them. Why do we preach the Word to the unsaved? We hope it will turn the lights on. Because faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the Word of God. I got to give them the Word. So it's the prompting of the Spirit. It's the prompting of the Spirit. And we were back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we're told, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Grab a hold of it. You say, why does Paul keep saying that you heard of me? Did they have the written word at that point of all that Paul was saying? No, but Paul was actually speaking forth God's word. You have the privilege of having all of the Word of God. Will there be any more? No. You have the complete canon of Scripture, all of it. I used to have a Korean professor in seminary, and he would say, whole thing, whole thing. That's right, you got the whole thing. In faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. Who's going to allow you to understand all these truths and keep them in your heart? It's the work of the Holy Spirit, you know that. You see, most of us are under a very silly notion. We think that we have the capabilities of seeing all these things on our own. We have the silly notion of thinking when we got saved that it was only a matter of putting the words together and understanding them. But don't you see the power of God? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Is not the Holy Spirit God? It is that dynamic work of the Holy Spirit who not only opens our eyes to salvation so that we might see the truth of Jesus Christ, but it's also the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit who continues to open our eyes to the truths of God's Word. How will I know the truths of God's Word unless I begin to study them, unless I read it? And don't underestimate the reading of Scripture. Try reading it. I didn't get nothing out of it. Read it again. Read it again. I'm going to stop there this morning. I had three more points under necessities. I will be back next week, Lord willing. Heavenly Father, I am compelled by the Spirit of God, I trust, to lay this on the hearts of godly people, that they, because they know Christ as their Savior, that they might accept a challenge of this powerful nature that God calls us to. It's an unusual series of sermons that we're doing. I am so convicted and so often hurt by even my own heart at times, who does not always love the Word of God at every moment's notice, and who would rather put it aside to do something of less importance, Lord. Oh, Father, much like the song says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. I don't want to wonder, Lord. I don't want these people to wander, to drift away from the truth, to be plucked aside by the wiles of the devil who's waiting and waiting and waiting for those weak moments like a weak sheep being attacked by a wolf. And it seems so obvious and dramatic today that so many Christians can't seem to get a handle for the Word of God and have very little desire for it. What are we going to do, Lord? What are we going to do? Are we going to throw up our arms and throw out the white flag and say, I can't do it? Move us through your Spirit, Lord, through your Word, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204, or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.